Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, there have been times in my life that I have thought I had problems in my life, thought I had gone through major operations, had cancer, had my intestines cut out of my stomach, tore my tricep off, broke my elbow off. I mean, you name it, I've been through tons of garbage. And in every one of those situations, when I got into it, I got to the point where I started to think, wow, I'm really poor old me. And I thought that for many years of different situations in my life until I met this next gentleman who is quite honestly one of the strongest personal individuals I've ever met. He, give you a short background before I bring him on, he was a bodybuilder who I believe on his wedding went to Hawaii, and I'll let him tell the rest of the story, but he ended up paralyzed. And since then, he has created an incredible real estate investment portfolio, but that's the end of the story. Peter, welcome to the show. Peter Nierman, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Del. Wow, that's quite
Peter,
cool.
I'm
all right.
So, I'm sure, Peter, I'm sure you're tired of telling this story, but there's new people every year listening to the radio that have never heard your story, and it's a story that maybe one of them, maybe five of them, it changes their life to hear the story. So if you would, pick up the story from being a bodybuilder, being on your honeymoon, and then what happened?
So I was not on my honeymoon. We had just had small children, a set of twins, and another baby that was about a year younger. And we went on our first vacation to Hawaii. And it was day one, and I decided, I looked out the window, and I saw the ocean was flat, and I was like, I'm going to just go swimming real fast, get my cardio in, then we have the rest of the day to just do stuff. And so I went out there. They came out. I went swimming, and I came back, and I was walking in. The water was about up to my thighs, and I got hit from behind by what they call a rogue wave, which is just a freak wave, and it knocked me over. When I fell, my head hit the shore break, and as it hit the shore break, it snapped my neck. And that was it. I knew right then that I was paralyzed. And at that point in my life, I also, my career was a critical care nurse. So I had worked in a lot of trauma ICUs. So instantly I kind of knew my future was not looking bright. And so they hauled me off to the hospital, and there my adventure began. They traked me, which is where they put a hole in your neck and you breathe into a ventilator. And they told me I would never breathe on my own again. My whole left side didn't really work. They put a feeding tube in my stomach. For sure, I was never going to feed myself again. I didn't have hands, triceps, forearms, anything from about the middle of the chest down was pretty much gone. And I went through a series of medical blunders in Hawaii, and the people that I worked with in the hospitals, they did a bunch of research to find out where the best place was for rehab, and the doctor whose cath labs that I ran, he was generous enough to pay to fly me out to Colorado to Craig Hospital, and I did 4 months of rehab out there, at which time I worked super hard to be able to breathe again. I can feed myself. Now I can move both. I have biceps on both sides. And I can pretty much, I'm 90% on my own every day. And I can drive a car. That should scare some people there. Yeah. So when I got back from Craig in Colorado, I get to my house and real life kind of, you know, sets in. And I realize, you know, after a few months of just trying to figure out how to get around my own house, wow, this is going to be a problem because I can't work and I've got a pile of money from that I've saved and invested. And I happen to have two rental homes that I had acquired over the years, not in the lifestyles manner. I was doing it completely differently. I could have made a lot more money if I would have known you then, Del. But I figured out that I had a whole bunch of medical bills, and those were going up, and the money was going down, and I knew that I had to do something. And since I wasn't working, I was constantly doing research, listening to the radio, and I stumbled on your show, and I'm just a huge skeptic. I think everybody's got an angle. So I actually flew to Texas to go to the expo to just look behind the curtain, and I knew I could find an individual there that would, like, tell me the truth, or I would meet somebody that would say, oh, you know, this is a scam or whatever. I don't know what I was looking for, but I definitely was more looking for denial than I was confirmation. And I happened to run into you downstairs in a restaurant, and we started up a conversation. I talked to you for a while, and I was like, this is crazy. This guy's like a regular guy, not like some celebrity person. And so I kind of went through the expo, and I talked to a bunch of people, and I just found this group of unbelievably nice, open, kind people that were willing to tell me about their adventures and investments with lifestyles. And I was just kind of blown away. So, of course, I went back and I didn't do anything for, you know, like 9 months because I had to mull it over some more. And then finally I joined. And it has been just absolutely awesome since I've joined. I mean, the investments I have done very well, and I'm very blessed in that department. But I would say the friendships that I've made, just not just say in the Phoenix area, but across the country, have been amazing.
All right, so let's do this now. Let's talk about, you said you saw the pictures of your kid at the bottom of the bed, and you decided, hey, it's either this and it gets no better, or I do something to make it better. How did you wrap your mind around that process, and what did you do? What kind of short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals did you start to set for yourself, both physically and financially at that point, because you knew you had to support your family somehow?
Yeah, so right at that moment, I just had the feeling that I had to get out of Hawaii because I was a little bit paranoid because of the meds that they were giving me, but I also knew that the medical care was definitely subpar. So I communicated through Whiteboard that I had to go from there. And so my short-term goal was just to get out of that hospital. And once I got into rehab, they would be like, all right, I think that this is what you should set your goals at. And we had to go to class every day, both like a lecture class to learn about your injury, but also a class to learn how to breathe. And they would take you off the vent and get you to breathe for like 10 minutes at a time. And it was exhausting. And then because your muscles would atrophy. And so then you would go back on the vent. And then they would, a little farther down the road, they would try to make you talk, because talking is very difficult. It's exhausting. And so they would plug your trach tube and they would make you use your voice box. And so that just carried on. And while you were doing that, you then, after lunch, you had to go to physical therapy, and they would pick a body part that was going to be most useful, and they would train you how to use that by the goals that you gave them. So, like, if you told them, I want to be able to eat, they're like, okay, you're going to need these three muscles to eat. And so it was a series of small goals like that. And then once I got home, it literally was just survival. Like, I knew financially that this was not going to end well. I mean, the writing was on the wall, you know. The balance sheets were going exactly the opposite of how they should be going. And that was another very eye-opening moment. And so it was something I knew I had to do something about. And I had these rental homes that I had bought. What I had done is while I was working, I would buy a house and I would put a whole bunch of money down on it. And I would work on it on the weekends when I wasn't working. And my sister would rent it with her two kids. And then once I got it fixed up, I would sell it and then roll 100% of the equity into another house. So I ended up getting two houses this way with just a ton of equity in them because I didn't know what I was doing. And so once I got the lifestyles and I figured out that was the opposite of what I should be doing, I ended up, after I became fairly successful with the lifestyles plan, I sold off those first two. When I got up to nine, I sold those first two, and I started to peel that money into multifamily. Because I started thinking when I went in, I'm like, I don't need this apartment thing. I don't want to deal with it. I don't really know that I even want to learn it, but I know about houses, so I'm just going to stick with that. Because I was still a little skeptical. And so I just kind of focused on houses. And then I was like, well, if he's right about this, maybe he's right about the other things too. And so that's how I ended up being a passive.
You took your education, I assume, on the internet?
Yep. Yeah, so I went, to the 4-hour. You actually came out to Phoenix like 5 months after I joined for your first trip to Phoenix. And then I took everything on the internet because I couldn't afford to just keep going back and forth to Texas. So there was only three people in the Phoenix area, me and two other gentlemen. And that was it. There was no anything. Everything was in Texas. So that also made me a little more skeptical. It's not like it is today. So, I mean, today it has just exploded in the last 5 years in Phoenix. I mean, we have the only office outside of Texas. Our preferred membership list is just my email list alone is over 275 just for preferred people. But the list is so long of all the other levels. And so it's awesome how much it's exploded in the Phoenix area, metropolitan Phoenix, when I say Phoenix.
So you're deep into the situation, Peter, where if you help enough other people in this world get what they need, you can have what you need in life. And you personify that in many different ways, one being an ambassador, two being a passive, and tying those two together where you get to mix and mingle with all these people. So when we talk about this, guys, Peter went out there and basically started being what we call an ambassador. He set up a situation where he started having meetings. So, Peter, how did you form that? Just real quick. We've only got about a minute and a half left now. So, real quick, so how did you start that?
I decided that it would be really cool if me and the other two guys could meet like once a month or every other month at lunch. And so we picked a centralized place and we would meet. And what we would do is we would talk about lifestyles and about real estate and about what was going on with our families. And then the next 2 day comes, we get another member, we start having more people. Then I start having these little get-togethers where they become more and more about different educational things and lifestyles where it's like a case study. Somebody talks about what they've done on their single family or what they did for that. And on top of that, natural conversation occurs and people start saying, hey, you know, I had this problem with this. I remember you had that problem. What'd you do about it? And we start helping each other, just forming ideas and exchanging different things that we've done just through natural conversation. And all of a sudden the group just started growing and growing. What I would go to every 2 day and every case study, and I would just kind of tell my story and say, look, if I'm sitting in a chair and I can invest in real estate, pretty much what's your excuse?
It's a great point, Pete. We'll take that one to the break with us. We'll be right back with Peter Nierman and the Del Walmsley Radio Show. We'll be right back.
with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
What does Del Wamsley, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, think you need to succeed in this market?
It's time to buy, and so you better get prepared, you better get educated, you better get your money right. You need to get involved because you're going to need the financing. You're going to need the vendors that we have available to us. You're just going to need the interaction with people. You need to immerse yourself into real estate.
Start your real estate immersion with a free workshop live online at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Peter Nierman from Phoenix, Arizona. And Peter is coming to us from a wheelchair because he is a quadriplegic. And yet, at the same token, with that in mind, not born that way, but happened through an accident, he has still created both a real estate investing portfolio for himself, but has also become a centralized person in a group of people out in Phoenix that are really one of the stronger networking groups around. So, Peter, welcome back. And I had to cut you off a little bit there, but you got this group going. And I want to ask you, my feeling has always been the abundance mentality is enough for everybody. And that's something not a lot of people believe in. And I know you do. And then I also believe if you help enough other people in this world get what they need, you can have whatever you want. And people go, no, Del, that's not true. I help somebody once. And I go, once is not enough. And if you've seen one, two, three people getting together for lunch is one thing, but 300 getting together for lunch is a whole different thing. Share with us what this meant to you, has meant to you to give. Here you are. You're like the average person in the world in your situation would be saying, what can you do for me? You're out there doing for others. What has that meant to you for being that way?
It is. I think it's like you said, it's the abundance mentality. It is. I don't know if I was born this way, but I've always been the person that is willing to stop on the side of the road and help you fix your car because I know about cars. I'm the guy. I mean, my career as a nurse was all about just helping people that were right on the edge of death. And I just have always been like that. And when I got to Lifestyles and I kind of saw the power of the group, I thought, well, I could help people do that here because there's no one here to do it. And so all of a sudden, it was like the blink of an eye. I started holding meetings and different people would come, and the next thing you know, we're just building a community, and it's really been quite amazing. And people help each other out in so many different ways. They help walk other people's apartment complexes when they're looking to buy them. They do help square rent rolls before they buy them. I mean, or they just talk about the last deal or the next deal, and it's just built this community where everyone helps everybody. And that is really how you get ahead, because you're not looking to get ahead. You're looking to help somebody. And that's the way it happens naturally, I believe.
Well, it sure has been successful for you and the group of people you've been working with out there. Let's talk now and shift directions and talk about your portfolio. What has been your goal here recent with your portfolio? Like you said, you bought 15 multifamily deals and six of them sold out from underneath you. I'm assuming that left you with some cash after that happened, huh?
Yeah. So I've gone through, I don't know, I call it like, you know, pretty much one rotation where when you start buying, the apartment has set goals as a business. And when you achieve those goals, then you have a choice. You can either cash out, refi it, or you have a boat and you sell it, and then you take the cash and you move on. And I've also been in a couple unique situations where we've managed to 1031 an apartment complex, which I don't really want to get into on the radio, but that was a pretty amazing feat. And so I turn well, I didn't, but the lead turned one apartment complex into two. So that was great. And so what I've done is I've taken the money that I made from them and redeployed it into more more apartment complex, more passive deals. And currently right now I'm actually shopping for single family. So I try to have a goal of every year, a single family and a multifamily every year. And we closed on two passive multifamily deals right at the end of 22. So I've got a, I'm liking the returns of houses, even though the cash in is a little higher than I'd like, but I'm that's just my opinion.
Well, I had a guy on yesterday was, from Capital Concepts, and he was talking about they're getting a lot of really good single family deals now. And I've thought myself for the last 6 months to a year that the instant capital gain opportunities on a single family house situation and even the cash on cash after you get into it, even though the cash is less per month, the rate of return is still higher than many of the multifamily deals that are being presented out there with these high prices that multifamily has. So I understand where you're coming from on that, and I think that especially for people in the beginning to be able to go out there and build some equity. I mean, you know, how much equity are you capturing on these deals, Peter, you're looking at for single family?
So I will buy a single family home that is that needs some fixing up, and you can capture, you know, close to $100,000 on a broken down $400,000 house. Or if you buy one that's already been fixed up, but you've got somebody holding it that has to get rid of it because they've dumped a lot of money into it, you can end up with anywhere from $30,000 to $55,000. And not have to do the rehab work. Now, you do have to do the work up front and do the inspections and really be sure that what they did was the right thing to do. But yeah, I've been seeing a lot of opportunity kind of trying to poke its head around the corner in the single family market. The houses that I believe in buying are the top of the blue collar workers, the bottom of the white collar workers. And that's the kind of the price area that they are in Arizona. I'm not buying houses out in Scottsdale. And as a side note, I did try that actually before Lifestyles. Like I said, I had bought a couple of houses and I did buy one house that was in Scottsdale. And I thought, wow, if I pay $600,000 for this house, it is going to just go through the roof. It's in a perfect zip code. Everyone wants to live here. I'll rent it out. And that was the most nightmare rental house I ever had. But I didn't lose money. It was just a pain in the butt. So know who you're renting to is definitely, I can't stress that enough.
We've got the situation now where interest rates are going up, prices are coming down across the country that I can see. Is that happening in Phoenix at all, or is Phoenix that just phenomenon city where everybody in the world wants to come there and nobody wants to leave and prices never go down?
The truth is, I will give you the straight news, whether it's up or down. It's just been a lot of up for the last 10 years.
When you meet new people that are going to have the same obvious skepticism that you did, the same skepticism I have about everything I look into, what do you tell them to help quell that skepticism that, you know, it's so natural for people that are like our members? Our members are mostly pretty smart people. They're pretty educated people. That's generally our clientele. We're not really the something for nothing, instantaneous, gratificationally diseased, midnight madness, flip it wholesale, nothing down kind of people. That's a whole different kind of real estate genre. What do you tell these very conservative people that helps them get involved more comfortably?
So through my story, they'll come up and ask me a couple questions or tell me about somebody that they knew that was in a similar situation. I always try to explain to them that, you know, it's not a gimmick. Seriously, if I can do it, anybody can do it, because I'm not the guy that's going to fix a toilet, obviously. And I explained to them how skeptical I was. And I will literally just explain to them how any one of my single family home deals worked. And I'll let them ask questions. Like, it's kind of the open book mentality. You can ask me anything that you want, and I'll fill in the blanks for you, because it's just the way we help each other. And so when you meet somebody and you're skeptical and they're willing to tell you any question that they have, I think that naturally helps them relax a little. I don't know if it solves it all the way, but they definitely mull it over on the drive home.
Gotcha. Okay. Let me ask you another question. This is a personal question. I've got just a little bit of time left here, and I want to ask you this. You sound stronger than you have in the past. And remember, you're talking about how hard it is to breathe and to speak. And you used to have to take very long, deep breaths in between words. You seem to be able to carry on a conversation without too much hesitation. Are your chest muscles getting stronger?
I do work out 4 days a week. I do these breathing exercises that allow what I have left for breathing muscles, a lot of accessory muscle use and stretching to try to get my chest cavity to open up. And it's allowed me to be able to speak better. It's been a long process. And quite honestly, if I don't stay on top of it, it slowly slips back the other way. It's kind of like bodybuilding. You're either getting bigger or you're getting smaller. There's no
No doubt. Yes, I'm old enough you can tell me that. I will hear it and hear it and hear it. Well, you do sound better. I just wanted to get that in before we ran out of time here. So we've only got about a minute and a half left here. What would you like to tell people out there that are listening? I mean, you carry around a lot of personal knowledge of life. What would you like to share with people?
So I would like to share just the most simple things. If you think that you can do it and you set goals that are small and they're going in the appropriate direction to achieve your bigger goal, then you're going to be able to do it. So when you hear people like Del and I on the radio and you think, oh, I should check that out and look into it, you really should. It doesn't cost you anything. You can come to a free case study. You can go on our website. Not that I'm an employee of Lifestyles and I don't sell anything, but I passionately believe that it changed my life. And you can click on a free workshop. And I am at every free workshop in Phoenix. I'm at every 2 day at some point in Phoenix. And I organize most road trips and get-togethers. So if you come through Phoenix, there's almost no chance that you won't meet me, whether you're a resident here or you're coming from somewhere else.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I can just hear it in your voice, and that is you've got a family there, Peter. Thank you for coming on today. Thank you for everything you do for the rest of the members. And for the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.